الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. وقال تعالى: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، الآية. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يقبض الله الأرض يوم القيامة ويتوي السماء بيمينه ثم يقول: أنا الملك، أين ملوك الأرض؟ وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده، والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dearly respected scholars, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu wa jalla sana'uhu wa taqaddasat asma'uhu wa azama sha'nu wa la ilaha ghayruh, that he's enabled every one of us to gather here, firstly so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a superlative achievement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, wa ridwanu min Allahi akbar. And we should be thankful for this auspicious tawfiq and opportune occasion. Secondly, it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are gathered here so that every one of us can fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense that we are conducting the Friday prayer. And thirdly, also, so that every one of us can cultivate a worry and concern as to how each and every one of us until the Day of Judgment can be saved from the eternal doom and destruction of the life hereafter. These are but a few of the intentions that we make when we sit in the gatherings of the remembrance of Allah, the majalis of zikr. And this part of the khutbah is also part of the Friday prayer. As you all know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with the gift of Iman and Islam. And we should also be thankful for the fact that He has made us a human being out of so many millions and millions of creations. The creatures of the skies, the creatures of the earth, the creatures underneath the ground, the creatures in the ponds and the still waters, and then in the flowing waters, the salt and the sweet waters, etc. And the creatures in the atmosphere that we cannot see, single cell creatures like the amoeba and the paramecia. They're the small creatures, and then the huge quasars and the galaxies. These are all the creations of the makhluq and the ayal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of all of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us the human being as the best of all the creations. This is yet another thing that we should be thankful for. In achieving thankfulness, one important part of being a human being and being an abd, a servant of Allah, is also to appreciate our duties and our responsibilities. One most important duty and responsibility, apart from observing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to observe the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be obedient to the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I thought I'd look specifically at how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to accommodate people from different backgrounds and even the enemies, how he had the ability and the vast heartedness to forgive them, and his ability to strike a balance in tolerance and sympathy and understanding. Because that is something that is lacking in the Muslim Ummah, in the Ummah today. Our inability to present the correct role model of Islam today. And that is the reason why people in the Western Hemispheres and people from the other religions and the walks of life, they have the ability to raise the finger at us today. It is because of our inability to present the right role model of Islam. Our inability to tolerate
and sympathize with people who may be different. And obviously our inability to present the true and the real Islam. In order to eliminate this feeling and this most important aspect of our lives today, in order to eliminate that, we'll have to go backwards and observe the life and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right from the start, as soon as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was bestowed with the honor of prophethood, he was shaken by the awe, having seen Jibreel alayhi salam in his full form. That was an awe-inspiring experience in its own right. But that was also a training ground for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prior to that, he had been trained in social skills. He had been trained in trying to understand the level of immorality that was spreading, the level of decadence that had spread in society, in the Arabian Peninsula especially. Where people were burying their daughters alive. They were just, without knowing the source, they were just licking the blood off the ground. They were fighting and having feuds for hundreds of years. With that legacy in mind, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trained with the social skills. And now he had to train with the spiritual aspect, which was to actually have the strength of the heart when he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his full form. And he said the most powerful words, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he signifies, there's no time to go into great detail because I've got a lot to cover. The important aspects here, alhamdulillah, you're quite familiar as well, is عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. He taught man by means of the pen. Taught him what? عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. That which he did not have knowledge of before. That is the power of knowledge. And it took Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the first 10 to 15 years of prophethood trying to convince the Jewish people and the Christian people and the Quraysh, his family people, about the significance and the reality of his prophethood. In approximately the 9th year, I'm going to have to skim through quickly through the seerah. The 9th year, when the people were excessive in saying that we want a miracle, if you're truly the messenger of Allah, give us a sign. Jibreel Islam, he came down and he gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam two choices. He said, firstly, on the one hand, you can give them the miracle of their choice, these disbelievers, because they said, make ways through the mountains, bring the angels down, bring the dead back to life. It's all narrated in the Quran. But if they do not accept you as a prophet and do not accept the message of Allah, then they will be punished immediately, because they have the miracle of their choice. Or we have a miracle of our choice. And then they have until their death to actually decide whether they want to come into the fold of Islam. They will not be punished for betraying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously having shafiq, quality of being shafqat, excessive level of rahmat and kindness and benevolence for the whole of mankind and jinn, until the day of judgment, he chose the latter option. He said that yes, it will be of the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will have up to the time of their death. And approximately in the 9th year, that is when the miracle of shaqqul qamar happened, when the moon was broken into two pieces just by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointing his finger at it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he has expressed the power of this miracle in Surah Qamar. اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرضوا ويقولوا سحر مستمر. All the way through. But the people, they still did not believe, and they said that he was a magician. He was playing with their eyes, hypnotizing him. Even after Shaqqul Qamar, they did not accept. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Mi'raj. And he traveled millions and millions of light years in the space of approximately 15 to 22 minutes. Approximately. And it is said that this is one of the most important miracles As narrated in the Quran, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. 15th chapter starts off with Surah Bani Israel. Beautiful. But the first word Allah is using is سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows the excessive power and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he was shown the signs. We will have to go to the other surah, Surah Najm. In that we will find how close Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't just a spiritual experience, brothers and sisters in Islam. It was spiritual and physical. And because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling such great speeds, and the physicists amongst you will understand this more so, then that is why the envelope of time is reduced on the face of this earth. That's why he covered it in a very short space of time. Although he went from here to Baytul Muqaddis, and from there he went to the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh sky. And then beyond that, Baytul Ma'mur on the seventh sky. And then beyond that, Hazrat Jibreel al-Islam said, no, I cannot go any further. And then from there onwards, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended by himself, directly by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, people came into the fold of Islam after this. Yet, the striking message had not been completely absorbed by the disbelievers. When they came and asked, tell us about the people of the cave, Ashab al-Kahf. Tell us about Sikandar Zulqarnain. And these were events that it was not possible for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to know unless there was divine revelation there. This was a very important convincing factor. And went through Hijrat, and after that, first battle of Badr. And we're talking about forgiveness and tolerance and sympathy, so I'm getting straight to the point here. In the battle of Uhud, expedition of Uhud, where Abu Sufyan had said that whatever happens, I'm going to see you next year, after the events of battle of Badr. Approximately a year and a half after that, it is said that they marched forward. And Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl had been martyred now. But the disbelievers of Mecca, they were making a very severe plan. So Abu Sufyan and his wife Hinda, she had said, well, either we, na'udhu billah, try and assassinate Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. If that's not possible, somebody very close to his heart. Someone very close to his heart was his beloved uncle, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. And it is said that Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu was a great warrior and hunter as well. But the age gap was not so much between him and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was just older than the father of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father, Hazrat Abdullah, was the youngest of all of the children of Abdul Muttalib. And so, from that perspective, the age gap between him and Hazrat Hamza was very minimal. And they were very close. And he came into the fold of Islam. And it said that Abu Sufyan and Hinda, they hired someone to assassinate at least Hamza. And they looked for the right occasion. And it is said that when they found the right point, They actually hired a person by the name of Rashi bin Harab, who was a very powerful warrior himself. And it said that he threw the spear, looked for the right moment, and it said the spear pierced the stomach and the body of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, and he fell. And as he fell, Rashi came forward, and it is said that he then put the sword into his body and finished him off. And then it is said eventually Abu Sufyan and Hinda, they came. And they did not leave it there. The level of hatred was so severe that at that point it is said that Abu Sufyan and Hinda, they said that we will mutilate the body. They said that the eyes and the ears and the nose were cut. The chest was cut open. And the liver and the kidney was taken out. And it is said that Hinda, who was the wife of Abu Sufyan, hated Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that she chewed the liver of the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mutilating the dead body. And they left the body in that state. I'm talking about forgiveness today. And suddenly Prophet Muhammad in the battlefield as it was happening, because 70 of the Huffaz, they were, and the Qura were actually martyred in this battle as well. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid took a great point from behind the mountain, and he saw one occasion when Prophet Muhammad had allocated 50 or 60 archers there, a small commando unit, just above one ravine, and it is said that they had assumed that the expedition had finished, and therefore they left their points, and the commander said, no, don't leave until we hear from Prophet Muhammad. And they were a bit of a misunderstanding. So in this hullabaloo, it is said that when Prophet Muhammad suddenly sensed, where is my uncle? He searched for him everywhere, and then he went and approached, and suddenly caught sight of his beloved uncle, Hazrat Hamza. And at that point it is said Prophet Muhammad, he screamed and cried with tears. And the Sahaba, they came and tried to console him. And the Sahaba ikram were completely devastated by this. The poets have said, "Bakat ayni wa huqqa biha buka'u wa ma yughni awilu." Today is the day. However much any person cries, it will never satisfy the right of crying. That is what the poets were saying. Abdullah bin Rawaha, great poets. And they could sense but not experience the pain of the Prophet Muhammad, seeing his uncle in such a devastated situation. And it is said the Prophet Muhammad was deeply saddened. After that point, eventually the happenings of the battle expedition finished. But it was openly announced that Prophet Muhammad had said that whoever should see Rashi bin Harab should assassinate him there and then, because it caused great harm to Allah and Rasul. Great pain, in fact. And because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rule is that the one who loves the Habib of Allah, he's also the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is loved by the Habib of Allah, he's also, the one who's the Habib of the Habib is also beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Well, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. That is the rule. So we will have to have the love for Allah and Rasul in our hearts and in our lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that, would you not be happy to know that your beloved uncle has been given a title written on the arsh as Hamzatu Asadullahi wa Asadu Rasuli. And that was a consoling point for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the lion of Allah and the lion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in the 7 year period, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the point that I'm trying to make to you today, that is that in that 7 year period, from that moment onwards, it is said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Rashi bin Harab had fled to Taif and hid away thousands of kilometers away. But even then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if this person, he dies without Iman and Islam, then he will be punished severely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secretly he himself, he sent an ayat of the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لَمَن يَشَاءُ, to Wahshi bin Harab, by messenger, which to the nearest meaning is that without a doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive anyone who assigns partners to Allah, but he may forgive any other sin. And he sent this as a messenger to Wahshi bin Harab. Rashi bin Harab, he replied, on the one hand, his severe action in causing so much pain, and on the other hand, he's showing arrogance and saying that, I have committed shirk. There is no guarantee in this ayat of the Quran for me. Go away from him. Prophet Muhammad then sent another ayat of the Quran. Illa man tab wa amana wa amila amalan salihan fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyati mahasanat wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima. All of those people are in destruction except for those people who have achieved success. Who are they? The ones who seek repentance. Illa man tab wa amana, then they believe in Allah, wa amila amalan salihan, that they do good actions, fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyati mahasanat. For such people, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert their bad deeds into good deeds. Wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most oft forgiving and most merciful. Rashi bin Harab, when he received this, he said, I have to first do tawbah, then I have to believe in Allah, then I have to do good actions, then after that my forgiveness is there and my bad deeds will be converted. Inna hadha la shartun shadeed. He said, this is severe conditions, I cannot follow these. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the ayat of the Quran as sent by Jibreel alayhi salam, and that was qul يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell all of my servants here, not addressing the pious people specifically, addressing everyone, but specifically addressing those people who have betrayed Allah, those people who have, they are the robbers and the thieves and the worst of the worst, are all included in this Ya Ibadi, an address of kindness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mercy. Ya Ibadi alladhina asrafu, all of those of my servants who have done grave danger and injustice upon their souls. How? By committing sin excessively. Kabair wa saghair, all. Qul ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope of the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Without a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of the sins. When Rashi bin Harab, he heard this, clad in full hooded guise and cloaks, he traveled back to Madinatul Munawwara. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting in his concentration in Masjid al-Nabawi, and Sahaba Ikram at a distance. Suddenly he took his cloak off, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked up and astonished to see Wahsh ibn Harb, startled. And the Sahaba, they saw Wahsh ibn Harb and they ran with their naked swords towards him to behead him completely. And at that point it is said, وَشَهِدَ شَهَادَةَ الْحَقِّ. At that point, Wahsh ibn Harb quickly, he took his shahada at that point. And Prophet ﷺ stood up, having heard him take shahada and come into the fold of Islam. He suddenly stopped the Sahaba ikram. He said, hold yourself there. Don't move forward with your swords. He has just come into the fold of Islam. And the Sahaba, they said, no, he's just doing it to save his life, etc. And there were their thoughts and emotions. Prophet ﷺ says, no. One person coming into the fold of Islam is more beloved to me than assassinating a thousand kuffar and a thousand disbelievers in battle and in holy war. This is more beloved to me. Hold. And then Prophet ﷺ stood up and he took his sheet off, his top part, and he placed it on the floor and asked Wahsh ibn Harb to sit on that cloak. This is the person who has assassinated his uncle and then mutilated the body so severely. And then he asked him, Rashi, how did you? Tell me in the exact detail how you assassinated my uncle. And then he took, it had been 7 years from that moment backwards. And it is said that again, Prophet Sassan, fountains of tears started flowing from his eyes. And it is said that at that point, Sahaba Ikram, they had no choice but to hold themselves, and they listened to the whole narration, and he explained exactly how he assassinated the beloved uncle of Prophet Muhammad. But Prophet, he said one thing. He said, Wahsh ibn Harb, you've come into the fold of Islam, I accept you as a believer and as a sahabi radiallahu anhu, but I ask you one favor, and that is that whenever you come into my majlis, my gathering, you will sit behind me. It could be that I may see you and the severe emotions and pain would be so strong that I would not be able to bear seeing you like that. Just sit behind me, and that is all I expect from you. Prophet ﷺ, he is making sure that this person who is not going to be seen by Prophet ﷺ face to face, he made sure that even that person came into the fold of Islam and made sure that he was granted paradise as well as a sahabi. That is the level of forgiveness that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had. Today, even our brothers and sisters, we're not talking to them for months and weeks, so we don't want to see their faces. We have an argument with our parents, and we walk away for months. We don't phone them, we don't contact them. This is our small-heartedness. And Prophet Muhammad's vast-heartedness is there. Summarized by the hadith, Silman Qata'at, these are the mark of Rasulullah. We don't have these qualities of forgiveness in us today. Silman Qata'at, the one who breaks with you, you make with him. Ati man haramak, the one who neglects you with his kindness, you bestow him with kindness and open your heart to him. And the hardest one, Ufu amman zalamak, the one who does injustice on you and zulm on you, have to have the vast hardness of forgiving. So that we have a clean heart when we go to sleep at night. For the whole of the ummah. This is what is lacking today. That is the reason why I go back to what I said right at the start. I will have to repeat two things. Firstly, it is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has enabled every one of us to gather here, so that every one of us can cultivate a worry and concern as to how each and every one of us, until the day of judgment, how each and every one of us can be saved from the eternal doom and destruction of the life hereafter. And also, we today as Muslim Ummah at large, we have this inability to present the real role model of Islam today for the whole of the world, especially for the Western Hemisphere. And that is why the non-Muslims and all of the other cultures and backgrounds, they are raising fingers at us, because we have not cast backwards and acquired the beautiful quality of forgiveness, sympathy, tolerance, and understanding of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's most powerful quality is وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's akhlaq, his mannerisms, they are in the most superlative form. Verily indeed, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is a role model for everyone. If a person wants to be a captain, or a father, or a husband, or a manager, or a leader, indeed, in every scope and walk of life, there is an example of a role model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah grant everyone who has the opportunity and the ability to absorb the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives before we leave this world, say Ameen. And give everyone of the tawfiq to lead a life of obedience, such that the last words we may utter will be based on the hadith, Man kana akhiru kalami la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. And give everyone of the tawfiq to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment in such a state that Allah will be pleased with us and we may be pleased with Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.